Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 284 of Her, the podcast where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her aging. Aging. Yeah, what came to mind with that one? Oh, you started running away. Come back here. You got to listen to this now. We have a terrific show coming up. And just know that before we begin, this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. Why? Because I love hearing from you. That's why. And your feedback is so important to us here. Okie dokie. It's time for Her.
Her.
The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life.
It's all about Her.
Oh, my goodness gracious. We're thinking about aging today. I know. You're probably just counting the little white hairs that just sprouted in your eyebrows and in your scalp, and you're freaking out. And then you're saying, everything's heading south and I don't know what I'm doing. And why doesn't anybody give me a heads up? And I'm a woman and I'm trying to understand this. All right. Well, I can't think of a better person to talk about this than one of our favorite regulars, Dr. Beth Frates. Now, Beth is a pioneer in lifestyle medicine education, is an award-winning teacher at Harvard, and currently works with patients to help them adopt and sustain healthy habits. Happily, she also just informed me she has been elected the president of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. Woo-hoo, Beth. You know, go Beth. So, Beth, welcome back to the Her podcast.
Thank you so much, Dr. Peek. It's always a pleasure to be here, be with you in any capacity. You just bring such joy and education plus entertainment with you wherever you go, honestly.
All right. Now, listen to me. Now that you have this new position with the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, which you've been working in for quite some time.
Yes.
All right, you better have, you know, healthy aging as a piece of your platform, because that is like beyond. And more importantly, it's kind of womb to tomb. You know, I mean, when people think of aging, don't they kind of stereotypically say, well, that starts after the age of fill in the blank, 50, 60. How do you get people out of that? And how do you get them to stay positive about this whole issue of aging?
Yes, I love this topic. And thank you for including me in this episode, because it is a passion for me. I believe that we can make our years healthy, joyful, and we can thrive at any age. I believe that. I've seen that. I work with women from all ages, 18 up until 78. That has been so far my oldest client. And I do have trouble when people say, oh, well, it's because we're 50 now, we're women and we're 50, and this is the way it's going to be. And, or, oh, you can't wear a bikini after 50, or all these rules and expectations around aging, which I would like to demystify for us, this aging process. Yes, time goes on and years take a toll, perhaps on joints. As we do know, evidence suggests we lose muscle mass after the age of 30. This is true. We gain muscle, we work hard in our teens, our 20s, and if we don't maintain that program and if we don't continue to strength train, sure enough, left alone, unattended, we will lose muscle mass. So muscle mass is just a good way to start on this conversation. there's data that I've seen numbers between 2 and 5% of our muscle mass is lost per decade after 30 if we aren't exercising and strength training, which means for me in 50, if I weren't strength training, doing yoga, jogging, I could at this point have lost perhaps up to 10% of my muscle mass. But I have not let that happen because there are things we can do to combat aging.
And you know, when we talk about aging per se, here's kind of where I'm coming from,
okay.
And I'm pretty sure you and I are very much aligned on this. I want people to start thinking about this whole issue of aging as a basically a lifelong journey that you're constantly putting money in the piggy bank here, that you're investing in yourself. So that really, by the time you do hit, you know, the age of 50 and 60, where, you know, clearly you start to see more of the physical ramifications of aging, they become more self-evident, that you're able to now get a return on your years and years of investing in yourself. So, for instance, you mentioned the muscle piece. There's no question that... men and women experience a decrease in muscle mass, even if they're Olympians, during the seventh decade in life. It's actually a true symptom of aging. Prior to that, why do we have to have dumped so much muscle mass? If you don't use it, you know, you lose it, kind of a situation. So by the time we hit the seventh decade, even though there's going to be a bit of a decrease, at least you're coming from a higher position. So I look at it like we all seem to understand, you know, it's sort of like health and wealth. It's that lovely, you know, parallel. So if you're looking at retirement, if you're looking at being able to spend more time doing less work, as it were. When I say retirement, it could be any kind of shape. It doesn't mean you've completely stopped your professional work. But it simply means that you have the option now in the and this wonderful opportunity to be able to do other things. Well, how could you really, as it were, afford to do that? Well, because you've been investing financially for years. You've been saving, you've been being smart and strategic, et cetera. Well, the same thing goes with your body. If you've been investing in it since, good Lord, childhood, then you're okay. And, you know, the same parallel goes to a certain degree with money and your body. When people throw this up at you, and I'm sure they have to you, and that is, oh, God, it's too late. You know, I just let myself go for so long. Well, how many times do you and I read in, you know, a variety of media, it says it's never too late to, you know, prepare for retirement, even if you've let it kind of blow off for a long time. You're now 40. You can still save a boatload of money, make it work, et cetera, et cetera. It would have been easier, obviously, if you started when you were 20 or 30, but whatever. So the same thing goes with your body. So I just see this as a lifelong process. What do you think?
Yes, I agree with you, and I do have people come to me, say, at 74, and they say, well, it's worthless at this point because I've been yo-yoing, I'm 30 pounds overweight, I've lost muscle mass, I'm an older woman, I'm postmenopausal, and all these changes have happened, and basically I'm a lost cause. And I don't agree with that at all. There are changes that we can make each day that will strengthen us, body, mind, and spirit, so that we can enjoy the day, the next day, the next, hopefully, year, decade, a little healthier. So I think you're right in that. We make deposits into this bank account of health, and we can do this at any time. And if you feel you're in debt, well, what do? You do more. You continue to make deposits into the bank account, and yet you don't take as many withdrawals. I think to age gracefully, we need to think of not just the muscles, but, for example, we have a dementia epidemic, and we do know that the hippocampus, if we exercise, we can increase the volume of our hippocampus. We also know if we're in chronic stress for years, we can actually do damage to the cells in our hippocampus, that part of the brain that is involved with consolidating memories. So when we think of body, mind, and spirit, and how to age gracefully, I like to think of this program, Paving the Path to Wellness, that I use with women, with patients, with CEOs, with physicians, with surgeons, because it's a holistic approach to the aging process, to health, to well-being. And we talk about the body, and we have mentioned already muscles, and I brought in the brain, and we've talked a little about exercise and strength training, and exercise is part of this. Nutrition, what we put into our bodies, absolutely is going to affect our mindset for that day, our energy level, of course, ultimately our weight, and then it's going to affect even our skin. Right, if we can eat more green leafy vegetables, our skin is going to have more of a glow. We are going to be able to have collagen, and we are going to appear healthier. We can avoid the sun so that our skin also is healthy. So body, we do exercise, nutrition, and then the all-important sleep. So this aging process and putting money in the bank and making deposits, it's going to involve a multifactorial fun journey and process that we engage in. And the more we look at this as fun, which I mentioned right away, doing this podcast and being around you, you exude fun. So if we can get people to find the fun in the exercise, find the fun in the healthy foods, find the fun after you have a good amount, 7 to 8 hours of sleep, realize that next day is going to be terrific. That's for the body. But then for the mind piece, learning how to manage stress. I just mentioned chronic stress has an impact on the hippocampus, part of our brain. It has an impact in every part of our bodies. When cortisol is high, we are not thriving. So learning how to take deep breaths, simply learning one technique, deep inhalation, long, deep exhalation, can help us stop that stress response, get into the parasympathetic system. And this is going to help us age gracefully, make decisions each day, day in, day out, that are healthy ones, and then again, ultimately lead to a brain, a hippocampus, that is fully functional when we are older. We also need an attitude of positivity, of optimism, of hope that this can happen. We can age gracefully. We can enjoy our lives at any age. And when we use gratitude, that brings us into the place of positivity and hope. We think about what has gone well in our lives, what went well this day, what went well just now. Quite frankly, I've been looking forward to this podcast, as you know, and I'm grateful to be on this podcast. I am filled with gratitude right here and now, and it's helping me feel energized. Then we have to be realistic with our mind and energy levels and take time out. We've got to be able to unplug from social media, to unplug from technology, to unplug from work, to unplug from perhaps energy-draining friends. We need to protect our time and our energy. And then in terms of the joyful heart or the spirit, energy is key. Focusing in on what brings us natural sources of energy. This is going to help us age well and age happily and gracefully. When we surround ourselves with the people that bring out the best in us, when we surround ourselves with the environment that is healthy, if we can get out and get into nature 120 minutes each day, each week is the recommendation. I like to do it as much as possible, but 120 minutes each week. Being in that environment is great, and finding your happy place and spending time there. Then having a sense of purpose. Even when we are perhaps, in our 80s, when we have a sense of purpose, and that may be to take care of our pet, that may be to write the next novel, that may be to complete a marathon, whatever that sense of purpose is, but to carry on with a sense of purpose helps our joyful spirit to thrive.
I love it. I love it. And of course, you mentioned the marathon. Did you ever run that marathon?
I did. It just happened, the virtual Boston Marathon. And you and I spoke about this when we were together in February, actually. And here we are. It's now September, and we had a week to complete the virtual Boston Marathon. I did complete it. I will tell you, I tweaked my knee, unfortunately, and I made a decision. I forged forward with it, and I said to myself, this is a virtual marathon. I can blow out this knee, or I can walk and just complete this marathon for breast cancer and breast cancer awareness. My dear friend, who a year ago was diagnosed with breast cancer, had double mastectomy and chemo, radiation, everything. Anyway, she's thriving now. But I ran it for her, but I had to walk part of it, but I completed it. That's what I'm here to say. I had a growth mindset. I was positive about it, and I'm happy to say I completed it on Saturday, and I am running again today. Not those distances, but I have no problems. My knees survived it. They actually aren't injured, and I feel terrific about it.
Yay, you! I just wanted to make sure we were all good on this one, because good heavens. What a mess all the way around.
Oh, yeah,
isn't that interesting? When you and I saw each other at the end of February for our board meeting, right? And you're all excited and you've been practicing and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And then boom, COVID hits.
That's right?
And there
no
you
marathon.
Go. Isn't that
no
the
marathon.
Most bizarre thing ever? So getting back to this whole issue of aging again, all right, it seems to me, you know, that there are certain people who just have difficulty wrapping their head around the changes that occur in aging.
That
it's just they fight it. It's like a fight. It's like, damn it, I'm going to fight this with every single, you know, ounce of energy I have, and I'm going to cling to every element of youth that I think is valuable and all the rest of it. Then you got other people kind of go with the flow. They're like, okay, well, you know something? I just heard this the other day, you know. Yeah, my knees are a little shaky, and I'm getting a little arthritis and stuff. But you know something?
Yep.
I can still walk, do a light jog. Yep. I can still hike. And, you know, I'm just glad to be here. So I'm not going to, you know, bitch, moan, and whine about the other stuff. So how do you wrap your head around those people who tend to approach this almost with a sense of desperate hopelessness?
Yes. And I'm glad you mentioned the idea of battling. And interestingly, I used the word combat, the loss of muscle mass right away. And it's funny enough, when I said the word combat, I did conjure up a battle in my head, and I did want to circle back to this. And here we are doing that with your question. It's not necessarily a nasty type of battle and to get into an angry space about this. And yes, you're right. I know people, I know friends, colleagues, clients who are angry about getting older, angry that, yes, they have gray hair, yes, they have wrinkles, yes, they have signs of age. I think those that are going with the flow are going to enjoy life a whole lot more, regardless if they have more or less wrinkles, to be honest, regardless if they have more or less gray hair. They're going to enjoy life more because they are going with the flow, and they're taking the attitude of making the best of every situation, making the best of every day. That's that positivity. You mentioned aging with a positive mindset. The idea is we do the best we can each day, and we make small goals. We try to reach those goals. And something we didn't hit yet, and it actually has a lot to do with COVID that we just brought up, which is social connection, which is such an important piece of healthy aging and longevity. And not just healthy aging, longevity, but joy. It's a matter of staying connected with those souls, those joyful people in your life, those people that nourish you. And in COVID, it's difficult, but we can use Zoom, we can use FaceTime, we can use the phone. listen to podcasts. I'm sure there's a lot of your listeners who feel a connection to you, and continuing to listen in on your show will provide some sense of continuity, connection for them. So for those people that are struggling with, I can't stand these postmenopausal signs, this is awful, life is horrible, I can't stand aging, my bottom is expanding. That's another one clients talk about a lot. You know, now my body has changed, the shape has changed. Instead of looking at an angry battle, we can just say, let's think of the whole picture of our lives. First, we are grateful that we don't have COVID. If we don't, right? That we are here, that we are able to enjoy this day. It is a sunny day here in Boston in the fall. It is lovely out. I am grateful that I can be outside and enjoy this nice weather. And putting yourself in a space of gratitude will help us get into a better attitude about anything in our day, but especially aging day to day. So being grateful to have this opportunity. And then really thinking about it more like gracefully aging, going through this aging process gracefully with deep beauty, not external beauty, but deep beauty, like being even more inspired, being able to share wisdom with others that you didn't have when you were 20, 30, 40, 50, now you're 70 or 80. You have great wisdom, great perspective, great experience, being able to share that. Being able to use your age as a positive in your life, and thinking through the process and saying, okay, I'm 75 or whatever age we are at, and aren't I lucky that I have XYZ in my life? Aren't I lucky that I am still working towards writing my book, or again, running a 5K or walking a 5K, whatever we may be engaged in, and feeling that there are possibilities. That's what I think is the difference. Those that are battling and angry and feeling negative and maybe even feeling paralyzed and stuck, they don't see possibilities. I think the idea is to see the possibilities in your life for thriving, in your life for giving back. I think this idea of altruism and volunteering, especially in the later years, helps with a sense of purpose. It also helps us to share that wisdom that I was just talking about, helps to form connections with others. And it helps to make the world a better place. When we feel like we're making the world a better place, we're going to have more hope. We're going to see more possibilities for ourselves. So we think it's getting out of the stuck, I'm stuck in this box, and breaking out of that box and saying, what possibilities do I have for myself, for a feeling of thriving, for health and well-being, for being strong physically and mentally, and aging gracefully, feeling comfortable and confident at whatever age I am.
You know, it's interesting. I think that the aging process is oftentimes one of the first smacks in the head with reality to so many people who have really not been in touch with their body, let alone their mind. I think, you know, you sort of, you cruise along and you pray to God everything is going to go okay. And then, you know, things start happening in your 40s. You know, suddenly the neck, you know, you got a neck pain you never had before. You have ankles and hips and knees and back and all the rest of it. And it just ends up being an issue, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I really think that people then are kind of very radically and urgently pulled out of their denial or their wanting to look the other way and just not deal with it. It's sort of like you don't take care of your car and then one day the damn thing just stops in the middle of the highway. Well, okay, now guess what? You have to take care of your car whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the analogy holds pretty well for a lot of people in their bodies, and they literally do not want to make the connection, or they may not even know how to make the connection, or both, or, you know, it's just sort of a mess. And so the aging thing is inevitable. We kind of skate through it and, as it were, think that we're getting away with murder when we're not, but we think we are. And so there you have it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. I think if we're in that situation where, well, the car is broken down and we haven't taken proper care of it, and so here we are in the broken down car. Again, get out of the stuck box. Oh, well, this is what happened. This is it. This is over. Get into the possibility space and think about, again, how do we make deposits? Like, go back to your health and wealth analogy. You know, how are we going to make deposits moving forward? It's all about moving forward. What are we going to do moving forward? And what are we going to do that's going to be fun, going to be hopeful, healthful, and going to provide us with more opportunities and more possibilities as we get older? And I mean, maybe we should, you and I right now could brainstorm a term, aging. It has so many negative connotations to it. What's a term we can use that is inspiring, that is motivating, wisdoming, you know, something that captures the beauty of being older in our society. I don't know what the term is right now, but hopefully we'll figure one out so that we can start using it, Dr. Peak, with each other and with patients and clients, something that is inspiring.
Yeah, I know the terminology and the verbiage all around this is just so bizarre. You know, one of the things that one of my recurring experts on my podcast is Elizabeth Bernstein from the Wall Street Journal, and she wrote this fabulous column on who you calling elderly. And this is when COVID first came out, and they said, you know, if you're elderly, you're going to have to watch yourself very carefully and whatever. And so they were saying over the age of 60. Well, you know, she's a triathlete. She is in fantastic mental and physical health. She's thriving. She's doing a great job. And here we are, you know, with this issue of identifying anyone over the age of 60 as elderly. And she just took major offense with that. And so she addressed the issue. You know, the language around a lot of this, I always find fascinating. As we begin to shift paradigms from an old stereotype and belief system to a brand new one, along comes a lot of new verbiage. I don't really say someone is 60 years old anymore. I say people are 60 years of age. I don't like that word old associated with it. I just say you're 60 years of age. And that's exactly what you are. If you're 17, you're 17 years of age. That's who you are. And this way, I'm not assigning, and even though we do use the word old when we say she's 17 years old, it's a blow off when you're 17, but by the time you hit 60, it's not so much a blow off term. Suddenly it takes on a different life of its own. And so I just like to be very respectful of how we're approaching this and of the assumptions that go along with it. How many of us have seen people now who have actually survived COVID who are 80, but then you look at them and they're just absolutely vibrant and they're rocking and rolling. They tend to be in much better health than other people who are 80. And even though we know that a natural symptom, as it were, manifestation of aging is a decline a bit in immune function. But once again, I think they started at a higher level. And sure, there was some decline. The decrement didn't make enough of a difference to cause them to die from COVID. And so I'm just saying there's so many payoffs here, you know, Beth, when we're looking at investing in oneself, you know, throughout your life. So my argument to everyone out there in the Her podcast land is that it's a never too late.
Right.
So important to hear that message, something that you and I, you know, echo back and forth. Number one. Number two, you take it in small steps and really look at realistic expectations and realistic actions so that you build a strong foundation and not do like all of us love to do, especially women, and that is make a fathom leap to the future and hurt ourselves somehow. And if not just psychically, because we didn't live up to some fantastical expectation. So all of those things kept in mind, one of the things I'd like you to just sort of, you know, address, if you could for a moment, are some of the top level wonderful returns on investment that we get for investing in our mind and body at any age.
Well, I would say right away, if we are talking about day-to-day benefits, increased creativity. A 20-minute walk, Dr. Peak, 20-minute walk increases your creativity. I would say eating plants. We will feel full. You will feel satiated. You will feel complete. You will feel happy and satisfied if you eat plants. So two simple changes. Taking a walk. Okay, a 5-minute walk is terrific. I'm giving you research and data about a 20-minute walk. Eating 5 servings of vegetables a day. Okay, if you can eat 1 or 2, terrific. If you can get up to 5, even better. You're also going to lower your risk of dying from cardiovascular disease by about 20-30% if you do consume that number of vegetables by research. But more importantly, you will feel full. You will feel satisfied for hours versus if you eat a cookie, you're going to have a sugar high, and then you're not going to, you're going to then go low again, and you're going to be up and down. And instead, let's maintain a stable mood. And then I would say deep breaths. So three things, best return on investment, walking, eating vegetables, taking deep breaths. Why? If you can learn to sit, pause when things get tough, when someone says something difficult to you, when you hear the news and you're distressed, stop, pause, take 5 deep breaths, long exhalations, allow yourself to enjoy the rest and digest of the parasympathetic response, and you will be able to move forward with grace. So I think the new word I'd love for us to maybe consider, Dr. Peak, is grace-aging instead of aging. Grace-aging. It's a brand new word, but this is called graceful aging, where we are creative, we are thriving, and we are gracefully going through the day, grace-aging. So be creative, be strong, be satisfied, and be calm with walking, with power plants, and with deep breathing.
I'm going to add one more thing that is a layer on that. You absolutely totally nailed it, Beth. The layer on that is I want throughout a woman's life, everyone's life really, but this is a woman's podcast. So throughout a woman's life, to be constantly given a heads up about what to expect with the next decade of life. So, for instance, when you're 20, what really does happen when you're 30? What's going to be happening if you become pregnant? How can you become the healthiest person on the planet to be able to have the healthiest pregnancy, you know, that you can at least control your part of? You know, how do you do that? How does that work? And then as you approach your 40s, heads up, girlfriends, it's called the perimenopause, and it's the roller coaster of sex hormones, man. And all of a sudden, there you are. You know, you're shape-shifting. You've got every single tissue of your body is going to begin its wean from estrogen as well as progesterone. There are going to be differential levels of testosterone because of the changes in estrogen and progesterone. And all of this is going to be a slow process. It happens year over year, unless suddenly you're thrown into it because of chemotherapy or, you know, something else happens in your life. But in natural menopause, this is what to expect. And so how are we preparing women for this? Are we just being crisis oriented and waiting for them to walk into the primary care provider's office with a, you know, look of shock on their face saying, hey, what's going on here? You know, my vision, you know, my vaginal dryness, my energy level, I could go on. What is happening? And then you just keep it going. So it's so important never to sit back on your laurels. You're a teenager now, you're 18. Well, by the time you're 28, you know? And so it's so important for people to just start investing in their bodies and minds as soon as they possibly can in life. Don't you think?
That's beautiful. I love that. And I do think you're right. That's why this podcast is so essential and important, to help women of all ages be aware of what to expect in the next stage and how to make the best of it and how to keep making those deposits into their health, which is the ultimate wealth, as we know.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So, you know something? This is just, what can I say? It's so timely, too, because one last thing, we're all living in a crazy time. Come on.
Right.
I mean, seriously, understatement of the century, but, you know, it's either politics, it's the economy, it's COVID, it's civil unrest, blah, blah, you know, and guess what can age you fast? You got it. It's stress. And so give us, as your last, you know, marvelous a gift of wisdom, how you would talk to a woman today who is sitting there at home somewhere, you know, doing her, perhaps, you know, her virtual work, a remote work, and she's also caregiving somebody somewhere, right? Whether it's in the house or down the street or however that works, or visiting parents over at the assisted care, however. And she's distressed by the economy. Maybe she took a hit, by politics and whatever. That can be incredibly wearying. And by fear, you know, whether it's COVID or what's going to happen, you know, to our world. So what's realistic? What can we offer them to stay positive with their beautiful aging journey in the face of such levels of stress that it can directly impact deleteriously on the aging process?
Right. So I love this question. And I would say, you asked me to give you one pearl of wisdom around this, and I would say, when people are feeling overwhelmed, I ask them to make a list. What's in my control? What's out of my control? And I then say, after we list what's out of my control, then we need to put those things away for a moment, and we need to focus in on what is in my control. For example, I can take deep breaths now. I can take a walk now. I can then use my calm and creative mind to think about how I will get back into a job, how I will make more money, how I will strategize around this potential family problem, how I will help an ill family member, how I will be able to take respite if I need so, how I will have self-care. But I would ask people to make that list of the things they can control and focus in on it. And again, if the mind is spinning so much, taking the walk, taking the deep breaths, consuming some healthy foods, focusing in, being creative, and then addressing that list of things we can control. Worrying about all the things we can't control is just going to spiral us into distress, chronic stress. And as you said, that is unhealthy for every system in our body. So that's what my pearl would be, to think about what we can control and what we can't control.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Everyone out there, we have been talking to Dr. Beth Frates, and she is a Harvard teacher, and she is a pioneer in lifestyle medicine education and all things helping people develop and sustain healthy habits. And she is our one and only lifestyle medicine go-to here when we're really needing to hear the marvelous wisdom of an expert. Beth, I want to personally thank you so much for once again taking the time to share and to teach.
Thank you, Dr. Peek. It's always a pleasure to be on her podcast, and I hope I have another opportunity to do so.
Yeah, listen, it's not even a threat or a promise. It's both. Trust me, you will. And everyone out there, come on. You had a wonderful time. Take a minute to hit iTunes, rate, and review the show. Just love hearing from you. Love, love, love. Why? Because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. I take a personal interest in all of this. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. Please stay safe and stay well.